We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nothing quite like opening day, especially when you have a little stake in it, Folsy. Let's be honest here. There wasn't much of a stake these last 3 seasons. They were in, to put it kindly, rebuilding mode. I think this year they've become interesting again. It feels different opening day. It feels like the Pirates are to be taken seriously as a baseball team, I think, this year.
The glimmer of hope is there. And as many people will point out, there's 13 to 15 guys from that prospect pool that could see major league time this year.
Well, we have a perfect guy to talk about all of this. The Fort, Michael McHenry. You know him as an analyst. You certainly knew him as a Pirates catcher.
He's on the Fort.
Yeah, him. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real life magic for guests. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. You guys got me hungry talking about steak. And I'll tell you what, I think these guys are hungry just getting to know them, all the prospects, and even the older guys. There's a sense of urgency in that clubhouse by the players. I can't speak for the front office, but for the players, there's a sense of urgency to win for them and for the city. So I'm pumped just like you guys, and now I'm a little hungry.
Michael, we got a very interesting call from a diehard Cleveland Guardians fan this morning. And I wonder if you agree with this. He was saying that Austin Hedges is going to be incredibly good for the Pirates' young pitchers. That he thinks that Cleveland wouldn't have made it as far as it did last year without this guy, simply on account of his defense, his wisdom, the way that he can affect young pitchers. Thoughts?
You know, I don't think they quantify enough what guys can do with their brain behind the plate. And Austin Hedges is one of those guys that can really affect a game with just his thought. He's really good at making adjustments within the game, being able to see what makes that guy tick 60 feet, 6 inches away from him. That's really special. It's something that I don't think is necessarily just earned. It's something that you really have to take. You know, you have to learn that guy inside out, learn his personality. I think he does a great job. And I also think that's why DeLay made the team over Heinemann. I think DeLay has the knack to understand that human being 60 feet away from him, and how do you make this guy tick? How do you compete on a given day? And Austin Hedges was a great signing. And if you look what's right behind him in the prospect pool with Indy Rodriguez and Henry Davis, you want a guy that can pour into those guys. And he started in spring training. I don't think he's going to stop throughout the year. These guys are eventually going to make to the big leagues. Indy probably really quick because of how good he can swing the bat. And he's going to have someone to lean on like Austin Hedges. That's special.
Yeah, what do you know about those guys, and Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis? What have you seen from them or observed about their game?
You know, they can hit. But the one thing I saw with Andy Rodriguez, he may be a tick ahead of Henry Davis because of the confidence he poised during spring training. A lot of guys, they walk to the plate and you can see a little bit of timidness, especially in that first spring training. Andy Rodriguez, I wasn't sure when I first watched early in spring training. I was like, all right, who's this? And I was like, oh, that's Andy. Man. That guy is just walking up with a little bit of swagger, a little bit of confidence, and then he hit a pop-up. It was 93.5, which is just an elite exit velocity on a pop-up. I mean, when I say elite, I'm talking about O'Neill Cruz. I'm talking about Stanton, Judge, big-time power, and it was a pop-up, a true major league pop-up. I'm like, this guy is special. But I think both guys want it. They want to win. They're winners first, and that's what you want in this organization. You want a bunch of guys that want to win because that's what we need in this city. We need a bunch of guys that just collectively come together, have that one heartbeat like Hurdle used to say, and look to win.
Michael McHenry. Do you go by Michael or Mike these days?
If you guys are mad at me, you can call me Mike. That's what my mom used to do.
It's usually the other way around. Like, I'm Joe, but if my mom was mad at me, I got the full name. You got the shorter name if she was mad?
Yeah, she couldn't get it out. She was so frustrated and flustered. I mean, I've really got her going sometimes.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Michael, about some of the rules changes, starting with the pitch clock. From what I read and hear and see, everybody seems to love this. Did you get that vibe being around the players? And if you were still a player, would you be a fan of the pitch clock?
I think the time is now to find out how much everybody loves the pitch clock, because in spring training, nothing in essence really matters. You're still trying to win. You're still trying to compete. But now that strike actually affects a game. That ball at the end of the game that maybe the pitcher gets is going to affect the count. It's going to flip that count. So I'll be interested to see how it plays out over the next 4 to 6 weeks. I think that's how long it's going to take to get used to it. You know, Major League Baseball said, oh, we have spring training. There's really not the same amount of time to play around with stuff like that. I do think it was great that they kind of threw it all at once and say, hey, try to figure it out. But there's going to be a grace period that we're going to have as players, as fans, as coaches across the board, because there's going to be some hiccups and it's going to get frustrating. But I do think it's good for the game. I do like the speed of it. I do wish they'd simplify it in a certain instance, especially with that 8 seconds and 9 seconds with the catcher in his box and the hitter in his box, because I don't like all the power the umpire gives. If you didn't see that Real Muto thing the other day when he got thrown out of the game, first time in 2,000 games, it's just ridiculous. Or 2,000 innings, whatever it is, it's just something ridiculous. These umpires have too much power and need to pull that away.
Michael, what do you think the impact will be for catchers and pitchers for the limit on pickoff moves and also these bigger bases?
You know, I saw a stat, I think it was last night, there was over 400 more stolen base attempts during spring training.
Up 50%. So 50%. Yeah.
So if that tells you anything, there's going to be a lot more action, which I do love. You know, I think that kind of has a cat and mouse game. You know, when Ricky Henderson, when I was a kid, I was really young, but I even knew who Ricky Henderson was, and him trying to steal everything on the field and steal, including the coach's wallet. I mean, the guy was amazing, and it was a lot of fun. So I hope that comes back, but at the same time, you're going to see a lot of different things that weren't in the minor leagues. They're going to try to maybe on a one-way lead with a lefty that reads, right? He's not going to be able to read anymore. So the guy's going to get a huge one-way lead and try to get those two out and try to get him to pick that third time and take off early. So it's going to be interesting to see how Major League staffs and players really combat these rules.
Man, I'm getting up to speed on these. There's a lot of nuance with this stuff, like the pickoff limits. So the pitcher has the ability to reset the pitch clock by stepping off the mound, but you don't want them doing that too much, so they're limited to two pickoffs, really, two disengagements from the mound. I mean, but you do get a third one, Michael, and if you actually throw him out, you won't get penalized, but if he's safe back to the bag, you do. There's a lot to keep track of.
There really is. And now think about the first and third situation. Right. If I have a first and third situation and every run is, in my opinion, in the major leagues, every really 90 feet is dire. So I'm going to try to get that guy to either make a decision to first base or go home. You're going to have to decide whether to get that out. And if you can get him to get those two disengagements, that third one, they have to make a decision. And I think you're going to see a lot of that early on. So they're going to have to decide, do we just let him have second base at that precious 90 feet? Or do we try to get that out and possibly let that run score? Because if he's safe, it's an automatic run.
So, and I have a very small brain. I'm trying to figure all this out. Obviously, the bigger bags make it easier because you have a chance to, you know, it's math, simple math there. But if with this other rule, is it going to lead to much bigger leadoffs from first base, for example, where you're tempting a guy to get you?
Absolutely. I mean, I wasn't a speedster, but my whole approach in the game is how can I help my team win today? And if I can get the guy flustered, whether I can get the catcher to throw over more than one time, eventually this guy, he's going to try to do too much. He could throw it away, especially a younger guy. We've seen that when Contreras with the Cubs. So you're playing St. Louis. This guy loves to throw. He also leads catchers in a lot, I would say, top five in the last 5 years in errors. Most of them come from throwing. So I'm going to try to get the catcher. I'm going to try to get the pitcher. I'm going to try to speed them up any way I can. Because as soon as you speed that heart rate up, bad things tend to happen. I've heard my entire career, slow the game down, slow the game down. Well, they're speeding it up. Mm. There's guys that are going to really benefit from that, and there's going to be guys that are really going to be hurt from that. You find that balance and that personality, and you take hold of it, and you just yank on as hard as you can, because that'll give you a chance to win some games that maybe you couldn't win in the past.
All right, now let's talk about the shift. A lot of people wondering if this will be a big or small impact on the game, and this goes like this. The defensive team must have four players on the infield and must have at least two of them on either side of second base, but teams still have the ability to move a corner outfielder to the other side of the field to create what we know of as sort of an infield shift, but that would leave them vulnerable to an opposite field hit. But do you think a lot of teams will still try to create, you know, sort of what we're used to seeing as a shift by moving a corner outfielder to that to create a shift?
Yeah, I do think people are going to try to outsmart the game, and you're going to see that a couple times, especially with guys like Joey Gallo who are very pull heavy, especially on the off speed stuff and the rollover side. So yeah, you're going to see that, but you're not going to see it often, and this is a rule that I didn't like at first because I'm a big believer. Make the game adjust to itself. Make guys adjust. I wish there wasn't a shift when I played. They played me in the six hole, and it's a lot of hits. But that was part of the game. I needed to learn how to hit the ball the other way on the ground, and I had some freebies over there, or learn how to bunt the same way if I can learn to push. So I do wish that would have happened, but, man, was I surprised how much I enjoyed watching guys like Key Brian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz and Lindor be incredible athletes, have instincts again, because these guys are moving pitch to pitch. They're trying to figure out, okay, this guy's a little late. I'm gonna take a step to the left or step to the right. And they're having to play the game again like you're back in high school or college where maybe you don't have as much information. That part I absolutely have loved, and I think it's going to be a benefit for teams that have athletic players. I don't think you can hide guys as much as you used to because you can't shift and allow that first baseman to be covered almost by that second baseman because he's playing so far behind him in the outfield. The one thing I will say, and Rock was talking about this the other day, is why they can't start on the grass and walk in is kind of mind-blowing to me. I just think they just kind of threw that in there. I think that's just a nice starting position to kind of get some momentum into the dirt. That was kind of weird, but I really do like that rule. I think it's going to be good for the game. I think we're going to see some incredible plays by some incredible middle infielders, and obviously Key Brian Hayes and Nolan Arenado, those guys who play the corners, they're going to really be highlighted in how good they really are.
That's a great point about letting athletes be athletes again as a result of the shift. I hadn't really thought of it that way. But I hear all the time people talk about, well, they're shifting you back when the shift was in place, of course. You got all these people on one side of the field. Why don't you just hit it the other way? I mean, how hard is it, honestly, to hit it the other way at the major league level?
You know, it's very hard to hit in general, but we're talking about elite players, and you're talking about having the ability to walk in a cage, put on the eye pitch machine, which is a machine that I can program to any pitcher on the planet to at height, extension, spin, horizontal, vertical movement. So you have a chance to be able to do things that you could never do 4 or 5 years ago, and you could practice at game speed or above. So to say that they couldn't figure it out, I disagree. We've always seen baseball figure it out one way or another, one shape or another. They're always going to figure out how to be better, more elite, and figure out how to combat what's right in front of them. I just don't think the pay scale allowed that. If you look how arbitration works, guys get paid for homers. They get paid for walks. So the OPS is what matters. Not getting on base necessarily by a bunt. They want to get a double. They want to hit a homer. They want to walk. And they would rather strike out than ground in a double play. So until that changes, I don't know if you could really say these guys would go out and combat the shift unless they were getting paid for it or unless the team like really emphasized it and said, we will reward you for moving guys over, for bunting and doing the little things again, which I think would be outstanding for the game.
Something you just said really popped for me. I'm aware that you can make a pitching machine throw any kind of pitch, but from what you just said, Michael, it sounds like you could put the name Hunter Green into a pitching machine and virtually recreate him and bat against his arsenal. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And two, you can hit foam balls. So the biggest problem, you know, they had this technology. You've probably been to a batting cage where they have a screen and you could face Randy Johnson. Similar technology, but now they actually have foam balls. So I can go in and hit against these guys and not worry about hurting my hands, breaking a bat, or anything else. I can actually try to figure out, like, how's this guy going to pitch me today? And they throw in the sequence of how he would probably pitch me. And I can see it over and over and over again. And it also has a random button, too. So I can sit there and try to face a guy that I'm going to face that day. So today, they're in the cage, a lot of guys, right before they walk out to have that opening day, that special moment, they're going to face Hunter Green. It's just a machine.
This is incredible, Folsy. What if he throws inside? Do you go to the mound and attack the machine?
There's no doubt about it. You got to get out there. But this time, since it's a machine, you can take your bat with you.
That's right, exactly.
Speaking of pitchers, Michael, Mitch Keller out there on the mound for opening day today. What are your thoughts about him as he finally figured it out?
I tell you what, I bet if you asked him, he would say, I don't have it figured out. And that's probably what I love about him the most. The growth he's had over the last couple of years has kind of been honestly mind-blowing to me, because you saw a kid with the ability but was coddled in the minor leagues. And, you know, that happens a lot with, you know, first, second rounders. They don't want to get them hurt. They're elite in the minor leagues. And then they get to the big leagues and they get punched in the face. And you're wondering how they're going to react. Are they going to coddle him? Are they going to pull him back? Well, they did it first, and then they let him go. They let him really take ownership. He went to Tread, and instead of saying, no, we've got it figured out, Oscar and that entire staff said, hey, let's team up with Tread. Let's figure out how to work together. And, man, did you just see the development happening so fast? You saw the body moving right in spring training. Then you saw the sinker come. Then you saw the new development of that sweeper over the slider, and now he's got a cutter. He's going to continue to grow. He's going to continue to get better. And now he's becoming a guy that you can rely on. And that's the biggest thing in the major leagues. When you have guys you can rely on, hey, this guy's going to do this. I know Austin Edge is going to be great defensively as long as he's healthy. I know Mitch Keller's going to go out and give us 5 to 6 innings and give us a chance to win. That's what you want to see, and that's how you build a winning ball club.
Michael, we appreciate the time. That was fantastic. Would love to talk to you again as the season moves along here. Enjoy the day.
Hey, thank you, guys. It's opening day. How can you not enjoy this day? Thank you, and God bless you.
Wow, was he good, Folsy? Huh?
He's the best.
I can't believe it. Is that common knowledge? Did you know that?
I didn't know it was that advanced. I had no idea it was that advanced.
I mean, obviously, it's the major leagues. They can recreate any pitch at any speed in any place. I didn't know you could program in Hunter Green or whoever, Max Scherzer, and say, and on top of that, based on data, say this is how he's likely to pitch you. That's unbelievable.
I mean, I can't believe it, but then I can believe it at the same time, because the analytics they have in baseball, I think, far outweighs even other sports, any other sport.
Okay.
They can break down statistically pretty much anything.
How is somebody, and I'm sure they are at the major league level, how is somebody not making trillions of dollars off this? Can you imagine what people would want to do? We've had the question ourselves, could you get a hit off a major leaguer? How is there not a place around here and everywhere where you go there, you pay whatever they want you to pay, and you plug in Max Scherzer? I'll show you I can get a hit off Scherzer. This is him. The ball's coming in at 100, and I'm going to hit it. You can make it a foam ball so it doesn't kill you, that type of thing. I'll show you. You know what I mean?
I wish you wouldn't have said that out loud, because that's a fantastic idea.
Do you want to start a business?
Yes.
Folsy and Josie's what? Pitching cabaret?
Yeah, pitching.
Yeah.
Pitching, trying to think of a P word.
Ball boys. Just call it ball boys.
There you go.
What an unbelievable name that is.
You could have drinks there. It could be like a hangout, kind of like they do with golf now, like a place like Shooters.
Our ad campaign starts with, did you ever think you could hit off Max? Sure. We'll get a spokesman. Yeah. We'll get Max Scherzer. Did you ever think you could hit off Max Scherzer? I bet you've told friends you could get one hit out of 100 at-bats. Here's your chance.
Here's your chance.
Press a button. This is Max Scherzer. You prove it.
You want the major league experience? Here it is. Step into the box against Randy Johnson.
Ball Boys, starring Folsy and Jolsey. I mean, I never knew this, Maddie. Oh. Did you?
Well, how much do these machines cost? We got to figure that out.
We'll take a loan out from Craig.
We should.
Craig's,
he's making big money now.
We'll go to Craigslist. You like that, Folsy? I'm sorry I said that.
That's pretty good.
I never knew this.
Me either.
That you can turn a pitching machine into a person.
Pretty much.
Michael McHenry just told us that. He said the Pirates are likely to have already faced Hunter Green as many times as they like. The data tells you how he's likely to pitch you based on history, and the ball comes in at the speed and spin that Hunter Green is going to throw. I can't believe this.
What's that do for pitchers? How much harder does it make it for them?
I know. And yet nobody can hit. That's the other thing going on.
I know, which is weird.
The money you could make, Folsy. You get a couple beers and anybody, you say, all right, you press that button over there. That's prime Dwight Gooden from 1985. You think you can hit off him? Go prove it.
And if you get frustrated or get sick of that, you could just say, all right, just give me,
give me a college pitcher. Yeah.
Or just give me 55 mile per hour meatballs.
Right.
Let me just take some hacks.
Exactly. Ball boys, the Folsy and Jolsy show. If you put up the money, I'm in.
I love it. Oh, if I put up the money.
Yeah. I'm in.
All right.
Molsey can be our spokesman. We put out a big fat head, which is essentially his head, and people try to hit it.
Just a picture of his head. Yes. You don't need a fat head.
A profile profile picture from his phone is right. A literal fat head.
Just have him take a selfie and send it to us.
Oh. All right. Let's take another look at this opening day lineup, shall we? I can't believe this. I can't believe that Smith Njigba is hitting fifth. I don't know much about him.
I kind of like the gutsy move. If you want to call it gutsy, yeah. But I like the move.
I like having somebody who's not 73 years old out there, or even a Ben Gamel. I like having a guy that we can watch grow. Maybe he'll be good, maybe he won't. If he's not, then try Swaggerty. Bring him up. It's different. It feels different around here, Folsy.
Wait until Saturday, then you'll see your 73-year-old man being out there.
Rich Hill
getting the start, yeah.
412-928-9370. We're also soliciting win totals. We've had a bunch through the show. We're adding them up, and we'll take an average, and we'll do that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.